All right, Monday mornings, 6:45, WWIB. Greg Stewart, the rest of the week, has sports and commentary at this time. But, hey, we go to Michigan for some sage advice and counsel from a comedian and counselor, Drew Fralick. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning, Mark.
Everybody in NFC North Country with a kind of a frown today because the entire division, which has been praised, it all lost yesterday. Everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a real bad day for all of us.
So. Yeah, in Wisconsin, because people take the Packers so seriously, things are kind of glum after a loss. So this is when it comes to Mondays in general, though, here's something that often people experience.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Yeah. What is it? This week we've had a couple of days off. Instead of a spring in our step, a lot of times kind of dragging. What's the deal with that?
So you asked me to talk about Monday mornings, and I went and thought about it, right? These are my honest thoughts. Is as the parent of a four-year-old, you need to understand that every morning is a Monday morning to me.
Like, is that right?
He doesn't distinguish between the weekend and the week. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. Saturday morning is still a Monday morning. So I'll give you an example. My son, he calls me Baba, right? That's the Chinese for dad. And on Saturday morning, I can hear him, like, rustling around at 6 a.m. And he's starting to call my name. He's like, Baba, Baba, Baba. But at that early hour, it's like that scene out of Jaws, you know, where it's like, Baba, 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 Baba. And then he walks over to the bed, and it's so early, and it's almost like he's mocking me. You know, he stands over the bed, and he's just like, Baba, wake up.
Yeah, right.
Time to get up. So I thought about that. And then the other thing I thought about, too, is that, you know, if every morning is a Monday morning, it's also true that every evening for us is Sunday evening, which means 7:30, strict bedtime, you're done. Like, I have a friend, and he was telling me about his bedtime routine with his kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it takes, like, 5 hours. Like,
oh, yeah.
He's sitting there telling me about it, and he's like, oh, yeah, we put on their pajamas, and then we brush their teeth, mm-hmm. and then we read them 3 chapters of the Chronicles of Narnia, and I do a different voice for all the characters.
Wow.
There's like 500 different characters, and so I get the voices mixed up, and they get upset, and then after that we say a prayer, and we watch a couple of YouTube videos, and we have a Spanish lesson, and we sing a song, and we get a drink of water, and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, dude, what are you doing, you know, like, our house, 7:30. We're like the post office, 15 minutes before closing.
Uh-huh.
7:15, we're packing stuff up. We're locking the door. We're like, you're done. It's almost adult time.
There you go.
So those are my thoughts on Monday morning there, Mark.
Maybe we'll have to call this time with Baba then instead. Drew Fralick, where can we learn, where can we catch more of your stuff?
Check it out, drewfralick.com. Going to have some comedy shows coming up, and, of course, my book is on there, so feel free to read that and laugh.
Terrific. Drew, thanks a lot. All right. Monday mornings from Michigan with Drew here on WWIB.
So as always, the weekend just flies by. We enjoyed the annual harvest dinner at my church yesterday. So that was wonderful. Had a lot of family gathering. I dressed up as Luke from Gilmore Girls for a gathering on Saturday.
Oh, really?
Skywalker.
No.
And baseball cap on backwards.
Yeah, and I don't normally wear baseball caps or flannel or have brown hair.
That's a great costume.
We used some gray away in a Walmart parking lot. Hello, Lady Smith. That was us.
Nice.
And my wife used an entire can of gray away on my hair, which took 5 washings to get out.
Are we going to see pictures?
Nice.
Possibly.
Oh, I hope so.
Anyway, yeah, so it looks like we're changing our appearance, which I kind of was, in the parking lot of the Ladysmith Walmart. And so I told my wife over loudly, I'm like, all right, wipe your fingerprints off that and throw it away.
Yeah, right.
Just for the humor of it. And also, we got a brand new to us, oak table via Craigslist from some very kind folks in Weyerhaeuser. So that was awesome because we needed a dining table. So
that's fun.
That was kind of what encompassed the weekend.
Nice.
Got to watch the Packers game with pizza yesterday with family. Wasn't a great time with the Packers, but the pizza
rough.
Was great, and so was the family.
That was rough. I'm going to go to Saturday because you and I have a commonality, Hillary, maybe we can end on. But the Super Show was at Chi High on Saturday.
I missed it because my husband and I had to go to a wedding, but my dad was there. How was it?
I didn't see your dad. I did see your daughter up on stage. No, it was really good. Some great talent. And again, Also, a number of solos were done, but separately. Solos are duets.
Right.
And a lot of great
talent.
Super
Show is it's a show choir show, for those of you that aren't aware. It's a
and
show
my
choir
son's in the Northern Airs from Eau Claire North, and so Memorial was there, and a number of schools.
Alyssa was there with Altoona Locomotion, and this is like the first thing of the year, and I don't know about your kids, but like they just learned their choreo. That, so this is kind of like the testing the waters. How is it going to go? First performance, like
and
the dress rehearsal.
And then each school gets
the
other schools get to see. Oh, that's what you got for this year. And costumes is a big part of it, and they've got to do. I think kind of the rules for it. You've got to do a ballad, and
nice.
It was really good.
So fun. Yeah, I was sorry to have missed that because, like I said, my husband and I were at a wedding, but our common ground not only overlapped there, but. We did not go together. You went Friday night.
Friday afternoon. I got to work early. My wife is leaving tomorrow for a couple weeks back to Africa. And so she really wanted to see Harriet Tubman, right?
Yes.
Underground Railroad, helping slaves to freedom, late 1850s. And so I'm like, let's go. So we headed off, found it in Eau Claire at Oakwood, and great movie.
Really
powerful.
Just...
I mean, the faith element is really strong. Her determination is just...
Unbelievable. I have a clip here. Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can get this.
From the trailer.
This is from the trailer.
There's not much time. You got to be miles away from here before dawn.
Where is she?
Follow that north star. If there are no stars, just follow the river. Listen for them. Fear is your enemy.
Whoa. Easy now.
I'm gonna be free or die.
I don't know if you know how extraordinary this is, but you have made it 100 miles to freedom all by yourself.
Powerful movie. So you saw it Friday afternoon. I saw it yesterday evening. Tremendously powerful movie. She truly was a woman of God, and truly.
And I've heard the film, I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard the film makes no effort to hide that. As so often in Hollywood these days, it's like, well, let's just kind of water that down.
No, but. Not at all. And I truly, this is a movie that needs to be seen. It needs to be seen. So I took my kids. You know, it's a PG-13 rating, but you know, this was real life, and this is how people lived, And it's important. And if you're worried about your kids seeing some of the violence in that, well, I look at that as an opportunity to talk about our history and where we've been and where we've come and how much further we have to go.
Yeah, two of our daughters were along too, 19 and 14. And I agree. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I was so glad they were there to see a strong woman leader. I mean, women leaders was an issue then. It's an issue now. But, boy, she sure was one.
You know, and that's awesome that you mentioned that because, you know, my daughters and I, we talk a lot about femininity and how femininity is not always, you know, pink and, you know, fluffy, whatever, you know, glamoury kind of stuff. And that... I truly believe in fierce femininity, and Harriet Tubman was the epitome of fierce feminism, and she was just a strong, amazing woman who freed hundreds of people. She freed 70 slaves, and then during the Civil War, freed over 700.
I didn't know that part about the Civil War.
Yeah,
so that was
and she led. Too. She led as a leader in battle. She's one of the few women that's ever led in battle.
Yeah,
so.
It was something.
Fierce femininity.
A strong woman, for sure.
Yes. Someone to look up to. Tremendous. Please go see this film. Please go see this film.
Well, apparently, if you are in the retail industry, you just completely forget about Thanksgiving, and it's on to Christmas. And I don't necessarily agree with that, but it is time to get a head start on thinking about your Christmas gift shopping or gift wrapping, as this study would show us. So, look out for fancy wrapping jobs, because your friends may actually... not like the gifts inside if you wrap them well, which is great news for me.
Oh, really?
I would think you're an excellent wrapper.
I would think so as well.
No, because I'm white. Just kidding.
Present wrapper.
We were talking about Kanye off the air.
Yeah.
A study has found the effort might not be worth it when it talks about wrapping presents because friends tend to like poorly wrapped presents more than those packaged to perfection.
Hmm. Huh.
Now, I've received some beautifully wrapped presents before, and I've also received presents, say, wrapped by my children.
Yes.
I tend to wrap very nicely for a little bit, and then get tired of it and just
start. And then move
start,
on with your life. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've used newspaper before, too, yeah, as a child. That was cheaper. Yeah. But anyway, what this research claims is that beautifully wrapped presents create high expectations that the gift inside may not be able to live up to. Whereas if you just kind of like, you know, put it together with the funny pages, they may say, well, wow, I was expecting a white elephant gift and instead I got whatever.
I once read an account about a gal. She was a teenager and she was given a gift by her grandparents. And, you know, she unwraps it and here's this box from Tiffany's. So you're thinking bling, you know.
Or breakfast. At least the second one.
And she opened the box all excited to find hair scrunchies inside. And her grandma was like, oh, yeah, sorry. The box was maybe misleading, but it was the perfect size for
okay,
the
scrunchies.
Okay, so
that's it.
So, I mean,
that's illustrative of this.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It happens.
Well, speaking of Christmas, in Mauston, they're going to be going for a Guinness World Record in December. Yes, most people Christmas caroling.
Really?
The first week of December, the CP Holiday Train annually chugs into Mauston. Last year, they had around 3,000 people for the event. Well, they're going to go for the record. Turns out the current record, most people caroling, 1,880 people.
Really?
Held by Portsmouth, Ohio.
Oh, they can beat that.
Yeah, they're shooting to beat that at least 1,881, and they're going to try to break into 10 different groups. But, shooting for 2,000 or more carolers coming
out.
Nice.
Wow, that sounds exciting. At first, I was like, how is Mauston going to break a world record? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, there's not that many people there. But if they draw them in for this event... Yep. Bring it. Way
go
to go,
Mauston.
Why not?
On
right?
Wisconsin. Let's beat Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do it in football. We can do it in caroling.
There you go.
Right. It is a little hard to believe that we are talking about the holidays, but it's okay. I bought a...
Snow is on the way.
It is. And I bought myself a Christmas llama that sings carols the other day.
Bring it in.
Oh.
And he's on my piano, and he shan't be put away.
Can you bring him in?
Magical.
For show and tell?
Absolutely, I can bring him in for show and tell. I would love nothing more.
We want to hear.
Than to bring the fa-la-la-la llama, and he's magical.
Well, happy National Candy Day. Now, I know you two are just like, you see sugar and run this month of November.
Right.
November, actually, for WIB Incorporated. But on this day, other people are celebrating candy in all its different colors, shapes, and sizes. Can you name America's best-selling brand of candy?
I debated between Hershey's and Nestle. Mm-hmm. I was like, whichever one sells Reese's peanut butter cups. I don't know which umbrella they fall
under. So it's not
under.
A specific candy. It's just best-selling brand of candy. So everything that falls under that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You did get it off air, Hillary.
Did I? Is it Nestle?
No,
or
Reese's.
Is Hershey's?
Reese's.
Oh, Reese's. Reese's. Yeah, Reese's. Okay.
As it should be.
Are they their own company or are they under?
I'm just going off of 2012 numbers is what I've got available
to
me. But brand, in terms of a brand. So
yeah, Reese's
peanut butter cups.
For sure. Delicious.
We're still doing one thing right, America.
They are fantastic. M&M's is number two, but it was interesting to go through this list internationally. Like multiple other countries, their top selling candy is gum.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Is halitosis just plaguing the rest of the world?
Or
are they just
apparently.
Not living? Are they not living their best lives like we are?
There are so many other breath options. I wonder if I could reach into my pocket. This is like, let's make a deal. But there's two different ones. I like these drops.
I've never seen those.
These
I've seen
drops,
you use them,
you can
but
get
I've
them,
never
yeah.
seen them. Is it like a mint flavor?
Yeah, it's
something?
Like a mint flavor. You can get it pretty affordably.
Huh. What else and have you got in your pocket?
This is the other thing I've got. I'm covering the halitosis.
Oh, I've seen the little
well, when you
Listerine.
Do sales, you don't want a bad breath.
Yeah,
sure.
Listerine freshness.
Films?
These are pocket packs, and they're like breath strips. My daughters
strips,
have given.
Yeah, yeah.
They dissolve on your tongue. Yeah,
I had gotten this as a Christmas gift. It's really good. Yeah, it's kind of cool. I mean, they just work like that.
Huh.
And so you don't have to chew gum.
Okay.
But in Brazil, they chew a lot of gum. Trident is the number one candy.
Interesting.
Sold in Brazil.
I never think of gum as candy, but I guess it is.
Yeah.
Remember
yeah.
Chiclets?
I do remember Chiclets. Do you remember putting them over your teeth to make it look like you had like colored teeth? Yeah. It's good times.
Speaking of food, though, one other quick note. When a fast food restaurant closed all of its restaurants in Iceland 10 years ago, a man decided to buy his last burger and fries there. He said he'd heard that this fast food restaurant, that their food never decomposed, so he just wanted to see if it was true or not.
All right.
And he kept it in a glass case. Well, they just had the...
Snow White?
Yes, yes, exactly. This is like Beauty and the Beast or something. On the 10th anniversary, how is the food holding up? You can actually go to a live stream. I've gone there this morning. Yeah. It
oh,
looks
no.
just... I can show you right here.
Is it...
Here it is, the live stream. So... Caleb.
Is it?
It still looks recognizable as what it was originally.
Don't eat it, though. Don't eat it. But this is the thing. Like, remember we were talking about those buns the other week, and they didn't mold. This is food. It didn't mold. It's not okay. It's not okay.
But now somebody left some bread on the kitchen table in back. Now, somebody told me that was from an area restaurant that doesn't use preservatives.
I know. It is. It's very tempting. But I'm trying to not start on the bread.
I want to know from keto people, like, and I know, because you're supposed to, not only the sugar, you're supposed to lay off the bread, too. That's hard. Like, I heard you say the other day, you really love bread. Bread is, you know, and there's so many different shapes.
Here's the thing. At the get-togethers over the weekend,
yeah.
Because I was like, I can't have, I mean, there were pies galore. There were these things
pizza,
that
were
Reese's peanut butter cups, but made to look like acorns
fall.
And I did not have any of those. But yeah, I had some bread because I needed something.
You need something. Yeah, right.
It's a challenge. Mm-hmm. It's a challenge. Ugh. We're joined this morning by a very special guest. Representative Assemblyman Warren Petrick is on the line with us. Good morning, Representative Petrick.
Welcome.
Good morning, everyone.
Hi, Warren.
How are you doing this morning, sir?
Is that Mark on there?
Yeah,
That's
one of the three. One of the three.
Good morning, Mark.
Hey.
How's it going this morning?
Excellent. You know, it'd be nice to see some sunshine again, but, you know, November is our cloudiest month, I've always heard.
Yeah, so, and we're supposed to get all this snow coming up here in a day or two, so we'll just have to see how that goes. Hey, we have you on this morning because November kicks off National Adoption Awareness Month. You know a bit about this, right, Representative?
Absolutely. And fabulous, you know, to bring more awareness to what is often a very challenging process, let's put it that way, especially when bureaucracies get involved, and especially with something as emotional as children being involved, and often the very emotional portion of taking them away from their birth parents. And so it becomes a very challenging topic, as they found out when they did the Speaker's Task Force and the hearings that have been going on. But we've been on this topic now in the state legislature for quite some time, and we've actually gotten some really positive results of legislation in the past. And then we're looking forward to a whole new package of bills in the very near future.
So what kind of things can we expect from the legislature as far as what are you working towards to help and streamline this process?
Well, that's a very good question. And the task force actually spent quite a bit of time going around the state, having hearings, and what they heard over and over were the challenges that we're facing right now, especially in the public adoption forum. So when my colleague, Representative Dietrich, took this on, she had several goals that she would try to accomplish through a package of legislation. So that's what's going to be happening in the near future. And I'm not sure if the bills will be quite ready for our passage in November, or hopefully it'll get through the public process, the public hearing process, and this month for sure. And then on the floor in January. But out of that, her goals were several. One was to shorten the timeline for adoption. And I'm sure you know people that have waited and waited to try to get adoption happening. And those stories are rampant in all of our communities throughout the state and the nation. So that was number one, is to shorten that timeline. Second, lower the costs. It's quite expensive to adopt. So that was another major goal that she took on, and the entire task force. And it's a bipartisan group of legislators who went around to, I believe, 8 different hearings at various locations. And then the third thing was provide awareness and resources to those that are going through the process. So the awareness part is just exactly what you're doing. So thank you for your public service of bringing more awareness to this topic. So one of her... She had a great quote. You know, she said, our goal is perhaps double the number of adoptions over the next 5 years in the state because there's such a need. And then she went on to say that the pendulum has swung almost too far toward adults over children, and we need to bring it back closer to center and really put these kids first. So I think that all of us in the legislature on all sides of the aisle, in both houses, I'm sure the governor's on that page, that we really need to find that delicate balance, but make sure that the children our number one priority.
Sounds fantastic. And on that note, we're going to break for just a couple minutes here right now. We'll be coming back to Representative Petrick right after this.
All right. State Representative Warren Petrick from the 93rd Assembly District with us here on the WIB Wake Up Show, 10 before 9. Halvo, Hillary, Caleb. And we're talking about Adoption Awareness Month. I'm just curious, I mean, with meth being such a huge and growing problem and the way that is being destructive in terms of families, then the kids, how is that, because we've seen this growing number in a number of counties in our listening area, how does that impact into the adoption area?
Well, great question, Mark. And I just met with folks from Child Services from Eau Claire County and Barron County, St. Croix County, Dunn County last week. They came in. And overall, the number one thing that I hear as far as a challenge to these things are the number of drug addictions are so up. And that is forcing counties into a really tough position where they don't have the resources to handle the number of children that are unfortunately the victims of the meth use, opioid use, and of course we've tried to we've taken this on very, very front and center. We're leading the nation in the HOPE agenda, the heroin and opiate prevention and education package that we've brought forth the past several terms, and we're going to be doing more on that. But again, it's just people making such bad choices for the individual in their life, and they often don't think about the others that are affected, and especially the children. So that, you know, trying to find the healthy balance between parents' rights and what's best for the child becomes even more complex for the courts, for the everybody that's involved, for the people that are trying to adopt these children and give them a good home. So these bills that we're looking at are going to be hopefully very meaningful, providing more resources for the children, especially those with special needs. Expanding the legal rights of foster parents is always challenging. And creating a clear process for families that one will allow visitations. In some cases, the parent, the natural birth parent, still should be and can be and wants to be involved. And so do the foster parents want them to be involved. So we want to make sure that we have a statutory procedure for that so that that can happen. And then legislation protecting the children, and that's a tough, that's a really tough one. And those are still in hearing. We're going to listen to all sides of this and amend the bills as much as possible. But anytime you terminate parental rights, it's a very emotional thing. Mm-hmm. I actually sat on a jury probably 25 years ago where we were tasked with the decision of whether or not to take a child away from a mother who was obviously very troubled and on drugs. And we did decide that it was in the best interest of that child.
Heart-wrenching decisions all around as we look.
It was difficult. I think we met for probably 4 to 5 hours, mm-hmm. and it was emotional on the parts of all of us that were partaking. So I understand that we need to watch out for the child, probably first of all. But that parent also has rights and perhaps should have a jury trial of their peers make that decision to tear that child away from. But in that case, it was very clear in my mind that that child would be better served in a foster home than certainly this woman who could provide no stability going forward. So we're going to listen to all sides of that and look at amendments if we need to. But I'm very excited for the package. I will support it as much as I can from my seat, and I know my colleagues will too on both sides of the aisle. It's wonderful.
Warren, for many years, we want to close on a more positive note. For many years, it'd get be this time of the year. You were with the Memories for many, many years, and you'd be doing the wonderful Christmas concerts. You're the singing state legislator. Can you close us out with just maybe...
just one verse.
Yeah. Of a favorite Christmas song of yours?
Oh, my goodness.
I know there's so many to choose from, right?
Oh, there's so many. You really put me on the spot here. But and tenors don't usually sing before noon. I know that. But one that really comes to mind that I love singing every year, it comes from the Second World War, and Irving Berlin wrote it. But it really was the number one song among all the GIs because most of them were just wishing they could be with their families. And so it's just, I'll be home for Christmas. You can count on me. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents under the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams. I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams.
Beautiful.
Love it.
Well done. And hopefully you can be home with your family for Christmas and the holidays, Thanksgiving right around the corner. Thank you so much, Representative Petrick, for joining us here on the air this morning in recognition of National Adoption Awareness Month.
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.